Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Judge Williams, are you there?
I am. Judge Kaney.
Thank
good
you.
Good morning.
Judge Bowers here with us.
I joined you to it.
All right, we're ready to proceed with the first case this morning, U.S. versus Hargrove.
Please, the court. Judge Williams, wherever you are, members of the prosecution. Good morning, Judge Bauer.
And a jury, good morning to you.
I had surgery.
Wherever you are.
The reason I have no briefs or papers is because I recently had eye surgery and I can barely read, so it would be a waste to have it. Having said that, Jack Hargrove offers two issues on review: mail fraud / honest services, which has been soundly rejected by this court and most other courts.
Not by all the judges, but by the court.
Correct. As a result of which, I sent a Rule 28 letter indicating that the issue is there for preservation, not for extended discussion. If I may proceed to the second issue, Judge Kaney?
Yes, Mr. Sure.
The conflict question, and I realize what the law of the circuit is, and that is it's best raised on 2255, and if this court so suggests, it'll be withdrawn. Before the court makes that suggestion, if the court is so inclined, I would like to point out that our short conflict argument points out, with the benefit of isolated transcript references, that the primary defense attorney for Mr. Hargrove also represented Intercounty, Intrust, Larry Capriati, Terry Cornell, and possibly Susan Pelosa. And these were the prime movers in the $48 or $50 million fraud that Intercounty is responsible for.
Well, Mr. Ackerman, really, I know you want to give deference to us as to who should decide whether you should defer this argument or not. I'm sure it's an issue that you've discussed with your client.
I have permission from my client to suggest to the court that if they deem it appropriate, it will be withdrawn on direct appeal.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Ackerman. In terms of the various representations that Mr. Jensen had, were they current at the time that he began to represent your client, Mr. Hargrove? In other words, it's not clear from the record when those relationships ended.
The one relationship involving Mr. Hargrove and the trust company, Intrust, was concurrent. He also represented Intercounty during the entire period of the investigation. He also represented Terry Cornell both before and after Mr. Hargrove was convicted. Regarding Susan Pelosa, the record reveals at this time that she was represented during the investigative time frame by different counsel. So I was hoping that the government would candidly describe for this court the various relationships and what they knew regarding conflict or not, and they haven't done so. So if the court is not inclined to direct the government to respond during oral argument, again, Judge Williams and Judge Kaney, Judge Bauer, I have permission from my client to seek to withdraw the issue if that's the...
Sounds like a bright idea.
I think, Mr. Ackerman, it would probably be appropriate, given our way of approaching these things. Anna, what...
Yes, I agree, because I think this needs to be clarified. I don't see it as an obligation at this point of the government to clarify these relationships. The record needs to be made on this, and I think it should be withdrawn.
Consider it done.
Thank you, Mr. Ackerman.
May I be excused?
Yes, you are. Thanks very much. The only claim is withdrawn, and we move to the second case this morning, U.S. versus Redentis. Resendez.
Your Honor, Stuart Fullerton of the United States. We are the appellant in United States versus TIFO, another...
Oh, that's right. I'm my...
...with
right.
Hargrove.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Feigal. I would... Go ahead.
May it please the court, because the jury in this case could have acquitted Tifo of the conspiracy count in the indictment without necessarily determining in his favor an element of the mail fraud scheme, mail fraud charges against him. Therefore, there was no collateral estoppel effect of the jury's verdict on the conspiracy, and the district court dismissed the second superseding against him containing the mail fraud charges in error. On this issue, Mr. Tifo bore the burden in the district court, and the district court had to find that the jury that deliberated at trial, of necessity determined an issue in his favor that was required for the government to prove in the mail fraud scheme. That burden wasn't met here. The conspiracy count and the mail fraud counts did not share all elements in common. They had different elements, and the jury was instructed on them. For the conspiracy count, of course, the jury had to find, and they were instructed, that there was an agreement to carry out a criminal purpose, that Mr. Tifo had joined the agreement, and that he had joined the agreement with the intent to further that criminal purpose. On the mail fraud scheme counts, the jury was instructed they had to find that there was a scheme to defraud, that Mr. Tifo had participated in that scheme to defraud, that it was to obtain money or property by false representations or promises, and that Mr. Tifo had done so knowingly and with intent to defraud. Given the evidence and argument in this case, a rational jury could have found, could have acquitted Mr. Tifo on the conspiracy and hung on the mail fraud counts, as it did, on an issue other than one that was common to the mail fraud counts. For example, Mr. Tifo argued below, and the district court found, that the jury necessarily acquitted Tifo on the conspiracy because he lacked criminal intent. But that's not necessarily what the jury did. We think it more likely, and certainly something that can't be precluded, that the jury concluded in acquitting Mr. Tifo on the conspiracy that he had not joined the agreement, rather than that he lacked the intent to defraud. The evidence and arguments that supported this were really not dealt with by the district court. That is that Mr. Tifo, while he had a role in the offense that was central, or it was important, I should say, he was the CFO, the chief financial officer of Intercounty. For a while, he was a director of both Intercounty and Intrust. And from shortly after he joined Intercounty until he left in 1996, so for several years, Mr. Tifo was responsible for creating and disseminating to, most importantly, the Intrust directors and executives, a spreadsheet that kept track of the funds that Intrust had sent over to Intercounty, had in fact entrusted Intercounty with. And these spreadsheets, which nominally were keeping track of those Intrust funds, were, from very early on in Mr. Tifo's involvement, entirely false. This role that he had was an important part of the fraud scheme, keeping Intrust mollified about what was happening with their money. But the evidence also showed that Mr. Tifo was not... there was evidence from which the jury could have found that Mr. Tifo was not a member of the conspiracy. And that is, for example, while the other members of the conspiracy, Capriotti, Hargrove, Walwin, Steinmack, other people at Intercounty, had been at Intercounty before Mr. Tifo joined, the fraud scheme was carried on without Mr. Tifo in some key parts, both while he was there and after he left. While he was there, the fraud scheme encompassed deceiving Stewart Title Company, an investor in Intercounty, defrauding Stewart during two audits that took place, one in 1990 and one in 1995. And Mr. Tifo, the evidence was kept out of the loop as to those two portions of the fraud scheme. The fraud continued after Mr. Tifo left in 1996, and it didn't come to an end until 2000. So key parts of the fraud and years of the fraud scheme continued without his participation after he left. Mr. Tifo, the evidence showed, was fired by Capriotti in 1996. Mr. Capriotti, in fact, called Mr. Tifo the weak link. Mr. Capriotti said that of Tifo to another person at Intercounty after firing Tifo. And Mr. Tifo, there was evidence that Mr. Tifo was upset by, agitated by, certain parts of the fraud scheme that were carried out while he was still there. So while Mr. Tifo...
Agitated that they were being carried out, or agitated in the way they were being carried out?
I think the evidence was that he was agitated to be reminded that they were still being carried out. And then the evidence was from Mr. Stymack, who talked about informing Tifo in 1995 of basically the thefts from Intercounty's escrow account to fund their operating account. And Mr. Stymack, I believe, testified that he, in his understanding, Tifo was upset to have been reminded that this was still going on. So while the evidence was that Tifo had an important role in the fraud scheme, he was, as he argued, as his lawyer argued in closing, kept out of the loop as to certain parts of the conspiracy. And for these reasons, the jury could readily have found, that the government had not borne its burden to convict him of the conspiracy, that is, joining the agreement, but it doesn't mean that the jury could not find or would be precluded from finding on a retrial that Mr. Tifo was guilty of the fraud charges. So for these reasons, we think that the district court erred in giving preclusive effect to the jury's acquittal on the conspiracy, and would ask that the court reverse and remand for a retrial on the fraud charges. Unless there are any questions,
thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Paul Wagner on behalf of Michael Tifo, better known as Mike Tifo. I represented Mr. Tifo in the district court. Judges, to credit the government's position on this, that somehow the jury could have concluded that Mr. Tifo did not join the agreement that constituted the conspiracy whose purpose was to carry out the scheme to defraud, would fly in the face of everything that went on in this case from the beginning to the end, from the presentation of the evidence to the grand jury, through the drafting of the indictment, through the presentation of the evidence in the district court in a six-week trial, to the closing argument of the government. The government suggested in one of its briefs that somehow we were indicating that the closing argument was to be taken as evidence. Not so. The closing argument is actually the closing argument of the government is actually a very accurate summary of how they tried the case, how the evidence was presented, and what the instructions constituted. And one brief excerpt from that closing argument, and I quote, "But it's clear in this case that there was an agreement, and going through all that scheme evidence, I'm not going to walk you through it again, But all of that evidence related to the scheme, the people's participation in the scheme, also show that there was an agreement that they agreed to participate in this conspiracy. The way that you would have to conclude that TIFO was on a lark or on a frolic, as I believe the district judge Moran indicated, to think that somehow he did not agree to carry out the scheme to defraud, along with an abundance of other actors, Capriotti being the main one. Quite clearly, from the very beginning, in terms of the indictment, the incorporation of all the specific fraud allegations into the conspiracy count, the specification of the overt acts in the conspiracy count are the identical. They're just more detailed specifications of specific fraud allegations regarding the purchase of CDs and the spreadsheet and so on. The government had a holistic view of this, and it's an accurate one. TIFO's position from the beginning, and the one that we are trying to articulate now, is that the one thing that government didn't show was that TIFO intended to defraud anybody. He intended to enter into the scheme to defraud, that he did not enter into any sort of agreement with the purpose of carrying out the scheme to defraud. And there is no way that the evidence in this case can be looked at and the conclusion drawn that there was not some sort of agreement by Mike TIFO to carry out certain activities that the government has argued constituted the scheme to defraud in this case. The significant point is that most of the activities, I would be bold to say that every activity that the government accused Mr. TIFO of carrying out was on its face a legal activity. It's not like you hand somebody a kilo of cocaine, you know that's on its face illegal. TIFO's activities were the activities of a CPA and a chief financial officer, to the extent that Larry Capriotti, the real moving force behind both Intercounty Title and the scheme to defraud, to the extent that Capriotti allowed him to function as the chief financial officer. The government again brings up in the argument these spreadsheets. It's interesting to note that the spreadsheets were titled In Trust, Interest, and Fees Earned. If you remember, what happened in this case is Larry Capriotti wanted to get more funds into Intercounty Title, and he prevailed upon a trust company, independent trust company, that was wholly owned by Jack Hargrove, to send its excess cash over to Intercounty Title, where, according to Capriotti, Intercounty Title would invest it at LaSalle Bank in overnight documents that would allow Intrust and Intercounty Title to earn a greater interest on this money. So upwards of $90 million were sent over. $50 million was returned. TIFO was asked by Capriotti to, just as a certified public accountant, to draft a document that would show the money that came over, the interest earned, sweep fees, the money that Intercounty was obligated to repay to Intrust. That's all it was. It was a perfectly, on its face, it was a perfectly normal document. Now, it turned out to be an instrument in Larry Capriotti's fraud. But from TIFO's standpoint, he was carrying out his role as the chief financial officer. And if you go right down the list in terms of the CDs that he was involved with, the strict sole order escrow agreement, all of these were legal activities. They do not in and of themselves demonstrate any sort of intent to defraud. Insofar as the jury found Mr. TIFO not guilty of the conspiracy to carry out the purposes of the fraud, the purpose of the fraud namely being the purpose of the conspiracy, the purpose of the fraud being the conspiracy, the scheme to defraud, they also found that Mr. TIFO had no intention to defraud. And as Judge Moran concluded, in the circumstances of this case, we cannot posit a meaningful distinction between knowing participation in a conspiracy to defraud and knowingly and with intent to defraud, participating in that scheme to defraud. I think that's an accurate assessment, and I think if you review the evidence as it was presented in this case, you will see that there was no way that Mr. Tifo could have done what the government suggests he did, not enter into a conspiracy to carry out the scheme to defraud, but nevertheless somehow join with all these other people, Capriotti, Walwin, Stimac, Pelosa, to carry out the scheme to defraud.
Well, inconsistent verdicts are not a shock.
No, they aren't. But this really isn't an inconsistent verdict, Judge, because the hung counts are not verdicts.
From Judge Moran's point of view, it seemed to be inconsistent with the indictment itself.
I think Judge Moran, Judge Moran sat through this trial. He had had this case for 2 years by the time it went to trial.
He didn't listen to it for the whole 2 years, though.
No, but he listened to it for a long 6 weeks. It was, and we were 5 days a week, too. We didn't get Fridays off. I think Judge Moran's position was that by concluding that Mr. Tifo did not enter into this conspiracy with the purpose of, whose purpose was the intent to defraud, to carry out the scheme to defraud, that by necessity that precludes any conclusion that he intended to defraud in the scheme to defraud. I don't know how this evidence can be viewed to think that somehow Mr. Tifo was not agreeing with people in terms of carrying out this scheme to defraud if, in fact, he had the requisite intent. This wasn't something he did on his own. Everything he did was either directed by Capriotti or informed by somebody like Jim Walwin, the treasurer. The spreadsheets, the information on the spreadsheets came from Walwin. He was the one who related to the banks. He was the one who supposedly was investing this money overnight at LaSalle Bank. So there's no sense in which he can be viewed as being out on his own in terms of the scheme to defraud. And unless there are any questions...
Well, what kind of deference do we owe Judge Moran in this case?
It's obviously, Judge, you have a de novo review in this case. There's no question that that's the standard that this court has articulated and that's the correct one. I would think, though, that in the de novo review, there is some sort of consideration given to the fact that the district judge did, in fact, manage this case for a lengthy period of time. He also had the opportunity after the trial to deal with extensive post-trial motions, not only by Tifo, but by Mr. Hargrove. And before his ruling on on Mr. Tifo's motion, he also did the sentencing of Mr. Hargrove and Mr. Capriotti, so he had the opportunity to review the pre-sentence reports and all that information. Thank you, Your Honors.
The government didn't reserve any time for rebuttal? I don't want to cut you off again, so if you want to have some rebuttal, I'll give you a minute or two. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.